Financial results already impacted from Investec. I mean, they did a pre-close briefing today. Their year end is the 31st of March, and they come out with results in May or thereabouts. Finally, TT is the joint chief executive. No, he's not the joint chief executive. He's the sole chief executive nowadays of Investec, because Investec Asset Management spun off on Monday morning. It was quite a tumultuous day on Monday, Finally, TT. You must have looked at this and gone, we couldn't have got our timing worse. But it's done now. There's Investec and there's 91, never the twain shall meet.
Bruce, good evening. You're right that Monday was quite a volatile day on the markets, but that has been the case for the last 2 to 3 weeks. The demerger was based on the logic that the two companies would be able to pursue their own strategic paths going forward. We were looking to create value through simplification and focus in the long term. We did not sell any shares onto the market, so we distributed the shares that we held, 55% of them, to our shareholders. So despite the fact that there was volatility, the demerger, in our view, was successful.
But you already are seeing the impacts of the global slowdown come through in your results. You did warn that you were going to see a contraction in profitability.
Yeah, certainly. What we are facing at the moment throughout the world is unprecedented turmoil. First and foremost, a public health crisis. Individuals, families, communities are obviously concerned about the health impact of the coronavirus. There has been a significant shock to demand, with people not participating in economic activity, people not going to shops and not going to work in most instances, and the markets have obviously reacted very sharply to that demand shock and to the uncertainty about the overall impact of the coronavirus in the short and medium term. Given that we've been trading for the month of March and seen the volatility of the markets, where most indices across the world reduced by more than 20%, in some instances over 30%, it was not unexpected that those businesses that face markets, our global markets businesses, where we do trading in markets, our investment income and also advisory fees would be down as a consequence.
No, look, I mean, the dislocation is absolutely enormous. How is your client base holding up? Generally, your client base is affluent. They are graduates. You don't allow people who are not graduates in. There are people often who are either growing wealth or own their own businesses and are custodians of significant wealth themselves. Are they holding up fairly well in this rising tide of concern and the great unknown?
Look, you're right that we serve a particularly robust client base, both on the private client side, private banking and private wealth. We also serve institutions and corporates. The level of concern is quite deep, so people are uncertain as to what the overall extent of the pandemic will be. As an example, our clients would be shop owners. They would be owners of malls. So there is a level of concern, and in this period of uncertainty, we are always of the bias that we would support our clients, we would support our employees, and we will work with them through this difficult time.
Have you sent your staff home generally? I mean, I know you can't send everybody home. Somebody's got to keep the lights on. But have you sent people home to work?
Yes, we have sent quite a substantial number of our people to work from home. In our UK business, over 80% of our people work remotely. Our systems and infrastructure are very robust. In South Africa, well in excess of 50% of our people work from home. In fact, we had a board meeting earlier this week where all our non-executives were dialing in from home. So our infrastructure is quite robust as a bank. And in South Africa, we are systemic. We obviously have to make sure that we can continue to serve our clients, continue to support the economy.
It's a big break for a bank. I mean, you used to have a very strict dress code, and then last year you downgraded that to being a lot more casual. And now people working from home. I mean, this is a culture change at the speed of light almost. I mean, it's all well and good keeping connected, but how do you keep teams, vast teams of talented, gregarious, capable people motivated?
Look, we premise our culture on the fact that our people are responsible. We trust them. They have the freedom to operate. We work in very flexible teams. We have the technology to enable them to work anywhere they wish to work in the world. So we are able to continue to work. In fact, earlier this week, I hosted a webcast to our people across the world, and that went particularly well. So we remain connected. We remain very close to our clients, even in this difficult time. Our people are very innovative. They're entrepreneurs. They continue to do the work that they need to do. That is the type of person we hire at Investec, people that can be self-sufficient, that are entrepreneurial, and really act like business owners.
Fanny Titi, the Chief Executive of Investec, thank you very much for joining us this evening on The Money Show. And on that subject of working from home, somebody called Rianne Wolf has just posted a tweet and saying, I've been working from home for 11 years now. Let me be your guide. And comes up with six really good tips. So pay attention. Sit with your back to the fridge. Best advice ever. So, I mean, if you preferably be in the room, in a room that doesn't have a fridge in it. But sit with your back to the fridge. Never work in your pajamas. A really good tip. Now, Yanni Mouton, in his book, "And Two Hit Ella Mecha Fire, and Then They Fired Me," it was a big hit about 10 years ago when it was written. Yanni Mouton, the founder of PSG, makes the point that when he had the gap between SMK, Senecal Mouton Kitsoff, the company that fired him, and then before he started PSG, he stayed at home.